I now present to you A Bessere Welt, A Better World, the Yiddish Community Chorus of Boston Workman's Circle, and The Cloth From Which We Are Cut.
Snow is falling.
Snow is falling.
What do you have to show for it?
Workers, wake.
Recognize your strength. Your mighty arm can stop the wheels from turning.
Spiel, am Aufweg bei deiner Pilz zum Gefühl, das Lied. on a night in April 1903 from the heart of the New York ghetto. In a rear tenement, a young Romanian Jew lay dying of consumption. In this room, 10 feet square, 6 people lay on the floor packed close. Breath, breath, give me breath. 2 years ago, this man had come to America, one of the 480,000 in 1901. He came young and well and hopeful with his wife and their baby son. Look, look, give him look. He spoke only Yiddish. The new country had given the plague before a language. Still on through the winter, he worked over the machine in the sweatshop. Feverish, tired, fearful, to buy food and coal, to keep his home alive. And now, on this last day of life, 10 times he had whispered to his brother, begging him to care for the wife and the 3 little children. Breath, breath, give me breath.
Stand up, boys, in the air. 1909, gay silk shirtwaists, women's blouses, a general strike in nearly 400 New York City factories, the largest strike of women ever known in the U.S.
Clara Lemlich, garment worker and union organizer. Ich bin ein Arbeiter Mädel. I am a working girl. I have listened to all the speakers. I would not have further patience for talk, as I am one of those who feels and suffers from the things pictured. I move that we go on general strike. Brothers and sisters, will you pledge the Jewish oath with me? If I turn traitor to this cause I now pledge, may this hand wither from the arm I now raise.
When we came back the next morning to the factory, we all sat at the machines with our hats and coats beside us, ready to leave. There was whispering and talking softly all around the room. Shall we wait like this? Who will get up first? So we stayed whispering, and no one knowing what the other would do, for 2 hours. Then I started to get up. And at just the same minute, we all got up together in 1 second. Oh, it excites me yet, I can hardly talk about it.
The girls began singing Italian and Russian working class songs as they paced in two before the factory doors. Of a sudden, around the corner came a dozen tough-looking customers, for whom the union label gorilla seemed well chosen. The thugs rushed the line, knocking one girl to her knees, opening the way for a group of frightened scabs to slip through the broken line. There was a confused melee of scratching, screaming girls and fist-swinging men, and then a patrol wagon arrived. The thugs ran off as the cops pushed 3 badly beaten girls into the wagon. I followed the rest of the retreating pickets to the Union Hall a few blocks away. There, for the first time, I saw real hunger on the faces of my fellow Americans in the richest city in the world.
My mother says there is no life come into this world without bloodshed. Maybe the bloodshed by our girls on strike will bring better life to all girls through the Union. And for the scabs, too. They must eat.
We're all brothers, alle Brüder. We are all sisters, alle Schwester. We stick by each other like no one else.
Gentlemen, they wrote, you are aware of the agitation that is going on in our are being molested and interfered with, and the so-called union is now preparing to call a general strike. Let us form the Employers Mutual Protection Association.
When the strike ended after 14 weeks, 354 employers had signed the union contract, and with very few exceptions, all had agreed to a closed union shop, a 52-hour week, raises from 12 to 15%. The Triangle Company never backed down. As the busy clothing season approached, they took back their workers at higher wages and shorter hours, but they successfully resisted a union shop.
Scores of girls at the windows. The flames from the floor below were beating in their faces. "Call the firemen," they yelled, scores of them. "Get the ladders," cried others. "Here they come," we yelled. "Don't jump, stay there." One girl crawled out onto the window sash. She disappeared into space. Then came the I looked up. Another girl was climbing onto the windows. Others were crowding behind her. They were fighting each other, crowding for air. Behind them, I could see screaming heads. The fireman raised the ladder. It reached only to the sixth floor. Now the crowd was enormous. But this whole time had occurred in less than 7 minutes. The start of the fire.
Afterwards, I used to dream that I was falling from a window, screaming. I remember I would holler for my mother in the dark, waking everybody up. "Mama, I just jumped out of a window." Then I would start crying and I couldn't stop.
Oh,
13 minutes after the fire began, workers remained trapped and nothing could save them. Elevator cables warped by the heat. Fire escape collapsed under the weight of those fleeing. One stairway enveloped in flame. The other, the door locked. Allegedly to search handbags at the end of the day for scraps of fabric.
I heard screams around the corner and hurried there. Up on the ninth floor, girls were burned to death before our very eyes. They were jammed in the windows. None of them was lucky enough to jump, it seemed. But one by one, the jams broke. Down came the bodies, and a shout. Burning, smoking, flaming body.
Garment worker and union organizer.
No.
I would be a traitor to these poor burned bodies if I came here to talk of good fellowship. We have tried, you good people of the public, and we have found you wanting. This is not the first time that girls have burned alive in the city. Every week, I must learn of the untimely death of one of my sister workers. Every year, thousands of us are maimed. The life of men and women is so cheap, and property is so sacred. There are so many of us for one job that it matters little if 146 of us are burned to death.
Becky Ostrovsky, 20. Essie Bernstein, 19. Laura Brunetti, 17. Ada Brooks, 18. Rosie Grasso, 16. Jenny Franco, 16. Celia Eisenberg, 17. Tilly Kupferschmidt, 16. Kate Leone, 14. Antonietta Pasqualicchio, 16. Sarah Sabasovitz, 17. Rosie Shapiro, 17. Jenny Stein, 18. Sonia Bizotsky, 17. Teresina Saraceno, 20. Violet Chauhette, 21. Rosaria Maltese, 14. Mary Leventhal, 22. Yetta Goldstein, 20. Sarah Cooper, 16. Ida Brodsky, 15. Rose Mell, 15.
Well, the fire is over. The girls are dead. And as I write, a procession in honor of the unidentified dead moves by under my window. Now what is going to be done about it? Harris and Blank, the Triangle Shirtwaist Company, have offered to pay the families of the dead girls 1 week's wages, as though it were summer, and they are giving them a vacation. 3 days after the fire, they inserted in the trades this notice. The Triangle Waste Company begs to notify its customers that they are in good working order. Headquarters now at 911 University Place. The building department of New York City discovered that 911 University Place wasn't even fireproof, and that the firm had already blocked the exit to the one fire escape with 2 rows of sewing machines. And still, as I write, the morning procession moves by in the rain. For 2 hours, they have been going steadily by, and the end is not yet in sight. There have been no carriages, no imposing marshals on horseback, just thousands and thousands of working men and women carrying the banners of their trade through the long 3-mile tramp in the rain.
A horrible death has robbed me of my little girl. Instead of a wedding dress, she wears a shroud. My dear child, my dear child.
Thank you.
U.S. Secretary of Labor. Out of that terrible episode came a stricken conscience of public guilt. And we all felt that we had been wrong, that there was something wrong with the building which we had all accepted. And so it was that the Factory Commission sprang out of the ashes, pressuring through the legislature the greatest battery of bills in relation to factory laws.
I have come here today to salute the vision and valor of the men and women who have founded your union, the International Ladies Garment Workers Union. They were immigrants to the land and strangers to the language, but they were not newcomers to courage. They battled first to free workers from the slavery of sweatshops, then to free them from sickness and disease. That great cause has suffered many setbacks, but each time has returned with greater force.
In 1913, 61 workers out of every 100,000 died on the job. By the end of the 20th century, that number was 4. Down to 4, but still 14 workplace deaths each day.
Headline: Business gears up to fight new health and safety reforms. While no one wants to come home in a body bag after a day of work, and no one condones bad safety practices, the question is how much compliance is too much compliance. In today's economy, it is difficult to run a shop, keep up with payroll, and accommodate all the health and safety requirements.
There's a plaque on the Triangle Building. Out of their martyrdom came new concepts of social responsibility and labor legislation.
1991, Plant Fire, Lakes 25 in North Carolina. Screaming workers pounded and kicked locked exit doors as fire swept through a chicken processing plant. According to the Labor Department, the plant was never inspected because there aren't enough inspectors.
2001, 5 construction workers killed in New York City, accident. The company is cited for performing masonry work with an expired permit. The immigrant workers, many of them undocumented, are paid $8 an hour, barely one-third that paid to union workers.
2010, deaths at West Virginia coal mine raise safety issues. Time stopped 5 days ago for the families of 29 coal miners killed in the devastating explosion in this West Virginia mine.
2010, memorial service honors 11 dead oil rig workers. Family of worker killed in explosion sues BP for wrongful death.
December 14th, 2010. A raging fire tore through a huge Bangladeshi garment factory that makes clothing for primarily American brands, killing at least 25 workers, most of them women, and injuring 100 more. Many of the dead were killed when they jumped from the building, and workers said some exit doors were locked.
The shirtwaist itself was a symbol of the times and the changing role of women. Practical, comfortable, a symbol of emancipation, independence, and professionalism. The shirtwaist represented the fabric which connected all women, factory girls, teachers, suffragists, women of high society, in a bond of sisterhood.
Today, I observed many a Jewish girl with her arm around an Italian girl's neck, not able to speak one to the other, but both understanding that they are fighting the same fight for each other's interests.
Oh, we are women, and we are marching. Bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. We are marching for liberation.
We want a revolution now.
E questo fiore,
il
partigiano,
the lesson of the hour is that while property is good, life is better. And while possessions are valuable, life is precious. The meaning of the hour is that the life of the lowliest worker in the nation is sacred and inviolable. And if we violate that sacred human right, we shall stand adjudged and condemned before the tribunal of God and history.
New York, the golden allowance, key to all of my hopes and dreams, until I learned what it meant to work in a sweatshop.
The machines go like mad. Sometimes in my haste, I get my finger caught and a needle goes right through it. I bind it up with a piece of cotton and go on working.
At the end of the day, one feels so weak that there is great temptation to lie down and sleep. But you have to go out and get some air and have some pleasure.
Dear Father, Russia seems so far away. But don't worry about me. I'm in a union now.
We all knew it was dangerous to go back to work after the Triangle fire, and that we might not live. But if we wanted to eat and feed our children, we have no choice.
I wonder what sisters means, if it doesn't mean to help each other in all our labor troubles.
What the woman who labors wants is the right to live, not simply exist. The right to life as a rich woman has the right to live. And the sun, and music, and art.
As we go marching, marching,
I'm
warmed us, that lit the way through a long, cold winter. And that hopeful flame that gave us courage, that gave us each other, in the fire that burned in our hearts, and in the fire that burns in our own, you can read our names.
We are all part of the family of humankind.